Today on Locked On Canadians, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs giant circus. And we also wanted to talk about what traditions we would borrow from the English Premier League. That's all coming up on today's Locked On Canadians.
Locked On Canadians, your daily podcast on the Montreal Canadiens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to episode 849. Today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. My name is Laura Sabo, also known as The Active Stick, and I'm joined, as always, by Scott Matla, who, like me, wants to talk a little bit about some drama going on, you know, in Toronto as we try to avoid talking about the Leafs, but sometimes you just can't.
Yeah, the thing with this whole Dubas situation was we had known going into this that based off those press conferences after they were eliminated against Florida, it was up in the air and maybe it would take a little bit of time. And like we talked about on Friday a little bit, I listened to the Chris Johnston postmortem episode of SDP, and it's there were some worrying, I don't want to call them red flags, but they were definitely at least like a shade of magenta at that point that, hey, apparently the board and like Brendan Shanahan didn't know he was going to say what he did there in this. And it's like, well, Dubas is not coming back. We're like, okay, kind of expected. We're actually surprised that a team that wanted to be as competitive as Toronto let that go for so long. And I'm looking at this and going, it kind of feels unfair that he's getting the axe at the end of it, considering I think he put together a strong roster. As someone pointed out, multiple 100-point seasons, one of the best regular season teams, but you do have to win in the playoffs. And then it's listening to Brendan Shanahan talk afterwards is where everything gets a little bit dramatic, teeny bit messy, and a lot more fun for me that evaporated my, I'm going to move on from this very quickly, in that Dubas wanted a contract extension. The board did not want to give him one originally, or Shanahan wanted to give him a contract extension, I believe back before March or something, if I might have my timelines wrong here. And the board said no. And then Dubas, you know, after his press conference was, I don't know. Maybe I'll take my time and figure it out. Family comes first and everything, and I won't go anywhere else. And then his agent apparently came back to Shanahan with a new contract for more control, almost autonomous control over like team decisions, more money in term than what he was paid previously. And at that point, Brendan Shanahan said he had a change in the way of thinking and everything kind of accelerated to where they're at here. And I got to say, it's pretty wild that like the biggest, richest team in the NHL, and yes, I know that it pains me to say that, is having this kind of chaos in their front office right now, to the point that they're considering a GM with bite. They want a more old school person, according to Elliot Friedman. And Brendan Shanahan is going to talk to Gary Bettman about this, which like apparently is not an uncommon thing, but you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tidy up the shop here a little bit, guys. Like, you're the Leafs. It's almost a little bit embarrassing to watch happen from the outside. And as a Canadiens fan, great. That's better for us.
There's a couple of things at play here. The first thing is people are wondering if Brendan Shanahan handled this correctly. I truly feel that if he'd waited a couple of weeks, he would feel completely differently. I understand the time involved, though, because we are now about a month away, a little over a month away from the draft, which is one of the most important things a GM has to handle. And then we're, you know, another a week away from free agency after that. So I get that it's a really, really crucial time and he wants to make a decision as soon as possible. He wants to hit the ground running with a new person, but a lot of the timeline sounded partly like hurt feelings. And so to me, if you had this vision all along that you wanted Kyle Dubas to continue on, which is from the press conference, that's what it seemed like up until elimination night, right? like they wanted to continue what they'd started together. It felt like not sour grapes, but I also think that once there was a moment where he started to think that there was a possibility that he might want someone else's GM, it just inevitably you start thinking about it. Like once somebody gives you the hint that they want to move on from the job that they have and you're in charge of hiring their replacement, you start thinking about other things, right? And then that becomes more and more attractive to you the more hurt you are about what somebody said, right? And then coming back with that new proposal for a contract after Brendan Shanahan had been hammering it out with the agent for 2 months, right? Since March. Coming back with that, like, I feel like I understand that it feels insulting, but I still strongly feel that had Brendan Shanahan waited another week or two, one, he might have made a completely different decision about the GM in general and kept Kyle Dubas, and two, he would not have handled that press conference that way. I mean, one of my friends who's a Leafs fan was like, is he out there trying to render Kyle Dubas unhirable? Like, and then other people were just like, he's just being toxic, right? And he's coming from a place of emotion. And so that to me was very clear. And it's honestly like the timeline was too short for this decision to be right either way. Like I would have thought about it a lot longer if I were Brendan Shanahan. And again, I'm not in charge of the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? But I just think as a person in the world, waiting a little bit longer when you're coming from such an emotional place would have made sense. But for us, like what's good for us as Canadiens fans is that there's no denying that the Toronto Maple Leafs built a regular season juggernaut. They did. It was going to be a matter of time and better decisions away from them getting to a cup, right? That groundwork that Kyle Dubas laid was important and it was progress. And there are a lot of people talking about how the Toronto Maple Leafs will win a Stanley Cup before the Montreal Canadiens even come close to sniffing one. Well, we already know the Canadiens came closer than the Leafs to sniffing one a couple of years ago. But now walking that decision back, like taking everything that they built, walking it back, they're going to be trading one of their star players. And I know a lot of our commenters are like, we don't want anyone tainted with that Leafs brush. You can't deny their talent, though. And you can't deny that if you put them in a better position and you had a better coaching staff, a more motivational coaching staff, you can't deny that they could have gone further. It's not that they lack skill. It's that they were just not put in the right position and given the right motivation. So now the Leafs are going to get probably let go of one of those big name players, their core four or core five, if you want to count Morgan Riley. And I know a lot of our listeners, in fact, so many of the commenters said they didn't want anyone tainted with that Leafs brush, but taking a star away from the Toronto Maple Leafs isn't going to hurt the Canadiens. Whether or not that star comes to the Canadiens or not, that's still going to benefit us. Having the old school mentality creep back into the Toronto Maple Leafs while the Canadiens go bold and look towards the future, that's going to benefit the Montreal Canadiens. Like to me, I understand that like it's possible that the next person comes in and does make positive changes with the Leafs. But for me, I think like there's no way that you can progress forward. Like at some point, they're going to lose important players and they're going to have to take a step back in terms of quality. Scott, any parting thoughts?
This whole thing has been really weird in that it's gone from the Leafs are this very tight-knit organization in the way of the future to Leaf fans going, is Brendan Shanahan actually a problem here? Is the Shanahan plan dead now and everything else? It's such a weird turn. And obviously everyone's going to pick a side here because you have the old school people who love Brendan Shanahan. Even the new school people who did, it's such a very weird razor thin spot. And the players are going to come back because they know they're going to get paid one way or the other. And they're like, I want to come back. I want to come back. I want to come back. I'm curious now how we're going to see who was part of the Dubas program here because they fired their AHL coaches. They have changed a bunch of things here. What's next? It feels like for the first time in a little bit that we don't know the path forward for the Leafs here. And they're talking to guys like Brad Treliving. There's guy Brandon Pridham is interviewing for other teams out of Toronto. It feels like we're going to go from what's normally a stable Toronto's going to run it back and add some pieces to what is the future for the Toronto Maple Leafs here. And we don't really know right now for the first time in a while.
And hopefully it is a regression. And so in our next segment, what we are going to talk about is what would we borrow from the EPL to the NHL? But first, this episode is brought to you by Game Time. How often do you find out an artist you love is coming to town, and then you miss the boat on buying tickets, and you're scrambling to get your hands on tickets at the last minute? This has happened to me so many times with more than one stand-up comic, with, you know, with sports teams, with artists, and getting tickets should not be as stressful as I've made it. Enter Game Time. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals with flash deals, and it's so easy to use. You can forget planning months in advance, like, you know, I was worried that I missed the boat. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. You can get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And the Game Time guarantee means you're always going to get the best price. Always. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. But again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Speaking of last minute tickets, one of the things that you tend to have to do months in advance is get tickets to an EPL game. I still have not successfully done so, but obviously because I live across the pond and I have to time it very carefully. But our good friend Robert Rice has sent us a mailbag question that we wanted to spend a little bit more time on than we had last week in our Friday episode. And Rob says, hello, currently on holiday in the UK. Laura, I assure you this is contextual to the question and not a brag. Please don't give the camera the evil eye when you read it. As you guys all know, I love going to the UK on vacation. Rob says, while obviously we can agree, barring the idea of relegation from the European football or soccer, for those who think a game played mostly with your hands should be called football, would be fun, even if we have to acknowledge it would have happened to Montreal a few times. What other part of the system would you like to copy? For example, a two-month window in the offseason to conclude all player movement and one glorious month of chaos during the playing season to settle all player movement. B, scrap the draft. Let pro teams run academies and youth teams to build their next generation and let any team sign anyone who wants to play for them. And C, kill all the noise in the arena and just let the fans get some proper chance going. Less compelling than altering the way player movement is handled? Yes. But tell me you don't want 21,273 fans chanting X Gun Give It To You every time Arbor hits the ice. Or altering the lyrics of an 80s pop tune to call out some rubbish officiating. All right. Let's start with the relegation ID, even though he said, you know, we've talked about this already in the past and it would have happened to Montreal. Why not? Why hasn't the idea of relegation caught on, not just in the NHL, but North American sports in general?
So I think part of it is because there's too much money and there's not the depth to the leagues and the history of what's going on here. Is that, yeah, hockey's been around since the early 1900s. They've been playing football since the early 1800s in a lot of these leagues here. And even newer teams that, you know, have joined, you know, by coming up or being funded and coming out of non-league football, it doesn't have the same history to that. And there's not enough space for, like, you, because, like, we're looking at hockey, but I'm just talking wide scope here. The NFL doesn't have other teams. They don't have feeder clubs or anything like that. I love the idea of that, but the hard part is that the AHL is currently acting like the academy system a little bit for some of these teams here. Like, imagine the Laval Rocket won the Calder Cup last year. The Canadiens finished last in the NHL and got the first overall pick. You're going to have the Canadiens going down to the AHL and then their club coming up and replacing. It's like they would just be like, well, we're going to loan all of the players from the Canadiens to the Rocket in the end. It doesn't quite work the same in that, which I know we're going to get to. I love the idea of relegation because it's going to force teams to actually take risks. If we look at the Oilers for so long, when they had all these first overall picks, the Oilers getting relegated out of the NHL would have been hilarious, but you have to take risks to do something with that. And if you don't take risks, it's never going to happen. And North American sports, more often than not, tend to be risk averse. They want to play it safe because they don't want to fumble the bag. I look at teams in soccer here. The team that I cheer for hired Steven Gerrard, who had very minimal success. He won a Scottish Premier League title with Rangers the year Celtic had a bunch of penalties levied on them, and he parlayed that into a job at one of the oldest clubs in England, and then promptly did a terrible job, got fired, and Unai Emery is now here doing his thing because he's great. But you don't see that. You don't see teams, I mean, the Canadians did, hiring Martin St. Louis. It's not often that you see something like that in the NHL. A guy who was coaching, what, under 13 hockey in Vermont, becoming coach of the Montreal Canadiens. It was a shock at the time. This is not, oh, this is a new guy to coaching from the AHL or from Europe. This is a dude who wasn't even coaching at a professional level. And everyone's like, well, this is weird. It's really not. If you look at who they hire in football, it's the North American sports pool is so risk averse because they don't want to lose money that they won't hire good coaches from Europe, for God's sakes. Listen to Patrick Bexell talk about this anytime. They won't do it. And that's, you know, a discredit to them because they're missing out on good coaching candidates because it's not safe in quotation marks for them.
So for me, I think relegation is one of those questions that we're constantly going to be asking, but there's other intriguing ideas, as Robert pointed out, to borrowing from the EPL and, or, you know, I guess, you know, high level soccer, I'm going to call it, in Europe. And I think one of them is a 2-month window in the offseason to conclude all player movement and one glorious month of chaos during the playing season to settle all player movement. So the idea is, I guess, like, correct me if I get this wrong, but offseason is when you do player moves, and then there is a transfer window during the playing season in which you can do buying and selling players.
There are two transfer windows. There's the summer transfer window, which is starting in a couple of weeks as the Champions League and stuff all comes to an end. The Premier League has a couple of matches left. And then there is the January transfer window that basically kicks in for a month in the middle of the season to make loan moves and everything else. I don't want to say, because the NHL is just one big window, basically from July 1st till the trade deadline. And then they allow some AHL moves. But I almost wonder, do you do a summer window for like up until the start of the season and then nothing? But it's hard because squads in soccer are much, much larger and there's not a salary cap, which is a hard thing. So I think the NHL is kind of stuck with that the way that it is. But we can actually talk about this in the next segment, because I have a lot I want to talk to about the idea of loans and academy stuff, because I think that'd be really exciting.
And our next segment is coming right up. All right, let's talk about this loan and transfer stuff.
All right, so those who follow football, and I know a lot of our listeners do, I know we have a lot of listeners in Europe, in North America, who also watch the Premier League, watch La Liga, watch Serie A, watch Bundesliga, everything like that. I love the idea of a loan system because I look at, and I'm going to use my club because this is the one that I have the most experience with. Aston Villa has a prospect striker his name's Cameron Archer. Steven Gerrard was not giving him playing time in the Premier League behind Danny Ings and Ollie Watkins, who were his two main veteran strikers. They loaned Cameron Archer to the Championship, the league right below them, to Middlesbrough, a team that was a big team trying to get back into the Premier League, one of the actual top teams in that league there. Imagine in Montreal that, hey, we have this young guy. We have Juraj Slefkovský, and we can't find a spot for him on our NHL team here, and we want to give him that experience. The idea of loaning players, because you can then recall this player at any time. You can go, hey, we are suffering injuries. We need to bring this player back into our squad. We are recalling them, and it ends that loan there, that they are done. It could be they spend an entire season with a team. They could spend 2 months with a team and then move on somewhere else. Sometimes it's just getting fitness, and they allow them to do that. I'd almost love that idea in that, hey, we're going to loan this player. Like, let's say it's someone that we're going to loan them to a team in Western Canada. That's where they're from. They're coming back from an injury. We don't have a lineup spot for them right now. Or there is obviously the loan system between North American hockey and Sweden and Finland, no longer the KHL, do the other things. The hard part about that is once you send them back, usually you cannot just recall them on a whim. Even on the only way you can do that is with like emergency circumstances. And that's usually just from the Canadian Hockey League here. And I think it'd be a little bit fun to add that wrinkle in there that like, yeah, we've loaned this guy to, you know, this team here, but we'd be able to recall them. But European teams aren't going to want to give up a spot for a guy who's going to be there temporarily because hockey, again, is just a different sport there, which leads to the next thought is academy systems. We see them in European hockey. We look at someone, you know, like a Matthias Norlander who came up in Moto system and moved up into that and then transferred into Frölunda. They have under 16 or like under 14 teams, under 16 teams, under 18, under 20 teams. And then they go and then you have the parent club in whatever league they're playing in. If that is Hockey Allsvenskan, is that, you know, the Swedish Hockey League in Finland? Are they playing in Mestis? Are they playing in Liga itself? The idea of an academy in North America is something very interesting because, okay, do you draft these players from, let's say they drafted Owen Beck and go, okay, we now have our academy system. We are going to play him in our under 20 team here in, I'm just going to, let's just call it North American under 20 hockey or whatever versus the OHL. It's the same style league, same age players. It's just you're playing only against drafted players there. It would be an interesting thing because it would probably, one, it would kill the CHL, which I don't think the NHL wants to do. But I love the idea of academy systems because it allows you to home grow your talent, basically. If you scouted this player, you have soccer players who they found when they were like 6 years old and have played in that academy their entire life. Jack Grealish was at the Villa Academy from the time he was a child up until he was sold off to Manchester City a few years ago. And that's, you don't see that in hockey because players are picked when they're what, 17 or 18, except in Europe where maybe they came up in that system there, but it's such a fascinating idea. And I don't think they'll do it though, because again, everyone's so risk averse and the CHL would probably cease to exist at that point.
I also think that that's the kind of system that benefits, that disadvantages teams with less money in smaller markets. So I think that's another reason why people wouldn't do it. That's the academy system is one that really truly does benefit teams with bigger pockets, better ownership. And again, like you can argue that that's something that, you know, it will encourage better ownership. It will encourage risk taking. It will also encourage owners taking interest in the product in a positive way, as opposed to just being controlling and looking at it as a vanity project, which I think it would be a good thing. But like Scott said, the CHL would cease to exist. People are risk averse, but also that would really, really only benefit rich teams, right? A lot of that stuff, even the transfer window, it would benefit rich teams. Like the relegation, it would benefit rich teams. So there's a lot of stuff there where it's like, I understand that in North America, it's kind of equalizing. And the goal is to make things a little bit more like parity, blah, blah, blah. You know, I get why they don't do it, but it's such an intriguing concept. And finally, the other suggestion that Robert had was to stop making games a production with graphics and music and stuff like that and just let the crowd create the atmosphere.
So I have a tweet that I'm quote tweeting onto Twitter right now about crowd atmosphere. And it's one of my favorite things. Soccer chants are very fun. Football chants for those who are there. And this quote comes from Dave Loach to American sports fans. They cheer defense, British sport fans. All right, lads, I've worked up a song to the tune of Debussy's Clair de la Lune about an opposing player's drunk driving charge. I'll count us off. And you have an entire supporter stand singing a song. And some of them are grossly inappropriate. We will make that very clear. There is a lot of grossness that goes along with that. But at the same time, there's something very special about that because it's for the team. It's not going to arena and, you know, just chanting ref you suck or this or that. It's creative. Every now and then when I get a chance to watch European hockey, yeah, there's music playing in the arena, but when there's no commentary noise, all you hear is the crowd and you hear them clapping and rhythm and doing these things. It's so much fun. You feel so much better every now and then. When like Sportsnet or TSN or whomever's like, There's no commentary noise. It's just rink noise. It makes the game feel that much different. You feel a lot more ingrained in the game because you're not being, and I'm going to use this word, assaulted by graphics and sound and music and talking and this. You can just watch the sport. People said, watch hockey without commentary and see how your perception of things changes. And it's, and I don't know if it's just a North American thing, is that they're constantly just talking over things. There are poor football commentators in the world there, but more often than not, you hear some of these famous calls, and it's because they let the moment breathe properly. And yes, I get it. Going to a game is an event. It is a spectacle. You have the Golden Knights with a marching band coming out of a damn castle, for God's sakes. Like, that's all well and good, but I would love to see a European sports experience in an arena. And honestly, if there's a team that could do it, it would probably be the Montreal Canadiens at this point. You are ingrained in a historic Quebecois culture, which comes deeply from French culture, including football. Maybe don't bring Flyers to the arena. Don't bring Flyers to the arena and do that. But borrow some from, you know, what is it? CF Montreal now. It's not the Impact, which is just dumb, but that's a rant for another show and another sport. But get your fans into it in a way that isn't just cheering when there's a goal. Like, I would love to hear the Bell Center as a group sing X, go and give it to you when Arbor Jack Eye beats somebody up. Or we've got Super Cole Caulfield. I just don't think you understand. Things like that would make this sport feel so much more open and welcoming to fans. You are part of this team here.
A community.
Yes. And if you haven't watched the last episode of Ted Lasso yet, Rebecca's speech to the other owners there is that we do not own these teams. The teams belong to the fans. And that is, I think, a really important part that hockey sometimes misses. It's for the fans. And if you are one of those 20,000 people in an arena singing and chanting along, you are part of the team. You are part of that culture. And I think it would be a huge, huge boost to help make it a more welcoming place there. You get to go in, you get to chant, you get to hang out with a bunch of other people, and then you leave and you do it again in a couple of days. It's special.
I want to thank Robert for this question because it brought out a side of Scott that we rarely see, which is, it's not a rant. It's like a spiel, I guess. It's a monologue, but it's all really fun to talk about. And I think this is a great question. And I want to remind everybody that you guys drive the content of this show. You know, you can, if you want us to talk about things, let us know, send us ideas like this. Like, you can email them to us at lockedoncanadians@gmail.com. You can leave them to us in the YouTube comments. You can tweet them at @LO_Canadians because it is the off season. We have a little bit of freedom to talk about some things that you guys want to talk about, that you guys want us to bring up. Maybe you want us to do a little bit of research and do a historic review of every time the Canadians beat the Bruins. We're working on that one. Maybe we want to do a hangout with some of our favorite guests. We're working on that one too. You know, it is up to you. Don't just complain about content. Tell us what you want to hear, and we will try and our best to bring it to you because we are your show. We're your team every day. And we want to be something for everybody. You know, not everybody likes the same things. Not everybody likes the same kind of content. But we don't want to do the same show 5 days a week. We want to give you guys what you want. And we want all of you to have a say. Some things are going to be more appealing to others. Some things are going to be more appealing to you. But you drive it. And I always want to remind you that you drive the content of this show. So tell us what you want to hear at lockedoncanadians@gmail.com. Once again, you can tweet them. LO_Canadians. You can leave them in the YouTube comments, but show idea. We've taken a couple. There's a couple we're working on. You can also tweet them at Scott Matla. You can tweet them at The Active Stick if you want to reach me. And don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on YouTube. We thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.